Here's Outside the Box, always taking the odd path. Today's topic is groupthink. Ever been with a group of friends and all of a sudden you're all agreeing that you hate a certain political candidate? You could be practicing what's called groupthink, where you're focusing more on the unity of the group rather than on figuring out a best course of action, an attitude towards someone else, or how you feel about a proposed idea. If you're all deciding to get a pizza, it's not that big a deal if some in the group would rather eat Chinese or Thai or Mexican food. But if you're talking about a candidate and find yourself agreeing with others how idiotic the person is when you really see some good proposals from them, that's where groupthink can be deceptive or even dangerous. Groupthink at its worst can even be deadly. Hutus in Rwanda suddenly decided in 1994 that Tutsis in their community, some of whom were their neighbors for decades, could not be trusted. A few Hutus planted the notion that all Tutsis had to be killed. The result of this bit of groupthink was the death of nearly 1 million people, about 3/4 of the Tutsi population of Rwanda, and thousands of Hutus who opposed the killing as well. The decision to launch the ill-fated Challenger space shuttle in 1986, despite doubts about the effects of cold weather, was another example. Groupthink happens every day. There's panic selling on the stock market when a few stocks go down. Police do nothing while another officer shoots first and asks questions later. People at a party laugh at a racist or sexist or classist joke and don't object even when they believe it's inappropriate. Politicians follow the party line, no matter what their personal beliefs are or how it affects their own constituents. Groupthink often puts pressure on people from a particular group to think like the majority of that group. If you're a fundamentalist Christian, for example, you may feel pressure to disapprove of LGBTQ sexual relationships. Groupthink also encourages all LGBTQ people to support same-sex marriage, even if they don't believe in marriage. All African Americans should vote Democratic. All men should love professional sports. Girl babies should wear pink and boys should wear blue. Well, you get the point. Groupthink often prevents us from taking the road less traveled. Irving Janis, who coined the term, suggested a few characteristics of groupthink. One is pressure on dissenters not to speak up with their doubts or to censor themselves to support the group norm. Another is stereotype views of so-called outgroups, the other. There's the illusion of unanimity, thinking that a majority view is unanimous, even when it isn't. Another trait is collective rationalization, not paying attention to warnings that there can be a better response. And what Janis calls self-appointed mind guards, those who protect decision makers from alternative views. So, how can we short-circuit groupthink? Janis suggests several things. Every group should have a so-called critical evaluator who freely points out groupthink situations. A group needs a member willing to be a devil's advocate. Someone needs to be ready to stand up and say, "Let's put on the brakes." Another is to bring in outsiders to evaluate group discussions and decisions. Get feedback from outsiders on group deliberations. And finally, take time to look for alternative group responses and warning signals of groupthink. Have you ever engaged in groupthink, either consciously or unconsciously? I'm Larry Danziger, looking for courage to speak out when I have a different point of view.